Good morning. So glad that you're able to make it this morning, despite the weather. My wife and I are still trying to get used to the snow every Sunday morning or any other time. I must admit this morning, the passage that we're looking at is something I have to confess is a personal struggle for me. And it's something that I find really difficult to do. So I'm not sure, and I don't know about you, but I hope the Lord is going to bless all of us together as we look at this passage. If you're able, would you please stand as we honor the reading of God's word from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 and 6. The word says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse, or some will say, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." Father, may you open our hearts this morning as we come before you to hear your words spoken to us. Would you help us to understand it and believe it? And having believed it, would you, Lord, help us to obey it? We pray all this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I remember when I was in seminary, my mentor, who had known me since I was 18 years old, was one time asked to write a letter to my former home church back in Kenya. And the letter was simply to go through the presbytery in the Presbyterian Church in Kenya. And it was about a man, a pastor, who had fallen morally. He had committed a moral sin. The presbytery in Kenya had granted him time to think through what he had done and repent of his sin, and then they gave him what they call discipline. But my friend, the man that I knew, had refused to accept the discipline that was given to him by the presbytery. He was having a hard time repenting of his moral failure, and so my friend was asked to write down a letter to encourage him to see if he would actually listen to the wise counsel of another brother from another country, maybe. And so my friend shared his thoughts with me on this letter because I was aware of what was going on. At the heart of the letter, my friend, my mentor, wrote a really firm letter calling the former pastor to repentance. He asked him to recognize his sin and what he had done and to be able to allow his brethren to let him come back and be restored by accepting the sin that he had committed. But what struck me most about the letter that my friend wrote was his heart, his humility, and his willingness to be vulnerable to this erring brother. He basically said to him, "Look, this could be very well be me. I might be the one committing that particular sin. Could have well be me. I am not writing this letter to condemn you or to judge you because I recognize myself to be a sinner saved by grace just like you are. I am only doing this as a fellow brother in Christ." And then he said something that I think we ought to listen to this morning and even from our passage. He said, "I am only doing that which I would hope that my brethren would do to me if I was to fall in sin." What a loving way to speak such a hard truth to one who had committed sin. What a loving way. Now, maybe you're sitting here. Maybe you know someone who has wronged you. Maybe you know someone who has offended you in some way. Maybe you know someone who is committing sin, who is not living right. Maybe you are the person that has offended someone else. Maybe you're the person who is not living right. Would you be able to correct or rebuke or reprove someone who has wronged you or someone who is sinning against you or someone who is sinning against God? Would you be willing to accept rebuke from your brother, from your sister, from your church when you sin? That's the place I want us to begin this morning. By looking at this verse 5, listen to what the author of Proverbs says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. The wise king begins by telling us that it is better to rebuke someone than to hide your love from them. And rebuke here, obviously, as we all know, is not referring to correcting someone because of something that they're not in control of. Rebuke is referring to an offense, to a fault, to a sin. It's not correcting or rebuking someone because of the way they wear their hair, or because of their height, or because of their skin color, or because of something else that they have no control of. Correction or reproof has to do with sin. It has to do with confronting those who offend us, confronting those who are not living right, and wanting to restore them to a right relationship with themselves, with others, and with God. So how do we do this? I think looking at these two proverbs, we recognize or we realize the common expectation that we would see for us to rebuke people, but we also see the irony in here. I think there's some sort of a contrast in verse 5 if you look at it plainly. There's a wit, there's a cleverness in this passage that talks about and makes us think, why is open rebuke better than hidden love? Why is open rebuke, and what is this open rebuke? What is this hidden love all about? I think we might be right to say that the hidden love is really not love at all, because it does the loved one no good. In fact, it does the loved one more damage than good. So it's not profitable. It is not love. Open rebuke, however, is referring to speaking the truth plainly, being able to be direct, to be open without fear. Hidden love, on the other hand, is what conceals, does not tell the friend their fault, does not see the sin in their friend. Now, I think the answer to the how and why we ought to speak the truth in love to those that we love, or to our friends, or to one another, is by recognizing that there is two ingredients in this passage that we cannot miss, two ingredients that have to work together for us to have a good relationship with one another. And that's the ingredient of truth and of love. So where do we turn to when we talk about truth, when you talk about God? Is there any other place that we can go to other than to go to God himself? Scripture tells us that God is love, that he is truth, that God has revealed the truth to us through his word. And what is that truth? It's the truth of who God is. It is the truth of who we are, that you and I are sinners saved by grace. And that the reason why God reveals that truth to us, the reason why God reveals the truth of Scripture, is so that we may have a relationship with him. He does this out of his love for you and I. God reveals himself out of his love for you and I. And he models for us what a true friendship ought to look like. He models for us what true love looks like. Of course, our friendship with God is not the same as our friendship with one another. The last sermon, I think, that was preached by Pastor Dan was talking about friendship, which chapter 27 is really all about friendship. But we talked more about this vertical relationship. Today, we're talking more of this relationship. But this cannot happen without this, and this cannot happen without the vertical, right? Our relationship with God is different because God is the creator and we are the created. God is our Lord. He is our King. But he still calls us his friends. But this is where we start, right? That truth that God reveals about you and who you are, that's where you ought to start if you're going to ask the question of how and why I ought to speak the truth to my brother, to my sister. Why do I say that? Because you recognize that, like my friend, mentor, who wrote the letter, that I am a sinner just like my erring brother. I do not stand in a place of judgment or condemnation. I leave that to the Lord. And related to this fact is something that's even more important. That yes, I am made in God's image. And look, your brother and your sister who sins is also made in God's image. So treat them with care and gentleness. Love them as you rebuke them. Treat them as you would want them to treat you. Because you know what? Today might be their time sinning and offending you. Tomorrow could very well be you sinning against them. And that truth really ought to set you and I free, shouldn't it? The truth should set me free to be able to speak openly, to tell others, to tell my friends when they have sinned against me, against others, and God. But I do not come at it because I think I'm better than they are. I am no better than the one who offends me, than the one who sins against me. But I do it out of love. I do it out of love for them. I love the way the author of Hebrews puts it as he encourages to exhort one another. Listen to the words in Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And obviously we cannot ignore the one passage that we all know, Matthew chapter 18, 15 and following, which describes for us the steps that we ought to take when someone sins against you, others, and God. We're not going to go into details, obviously, but there's one thing that we cannot miss to point out. That the author, that in the Gospels, in Matthew 18, that we're being told that if something is committed in private, keep it that way. Do not go making what is committed in private public. Because that's not rebuking someone if you do that. We know what that's called, right? We talked about it several weeks ago. That is, say it. We are called to practice wisdom and discernment, to know how to say those very hard things in a tactful manner. See, friends, our call is not to antagonize one another. It's not to patronize one another when someone sins against you. It is making sure that you shine the light on that particular sin and not attacking the character of your friend. That's not your job, to attack someone's character. It requires prayer. If you're going to tell someone that they've sinned against you, others, or God, if you're going to correct and reprove someone, you better pray about it. You better pray about it. And the purpose for this is, we all know, Matthew again 18 tells us that if you make them come back and repent their sin, you have gained your brother or your sister. The goal and the purpose is that they may be restored, they may be reconciled back to God. We all know in friendships, in relationships, whether in marriage, dating, or just mere friendships, or being here at church, it's inevitable that I'm going to offend you. It's inevitable that you're going to offend me. It will happen. Conflict will happen. And so we have to be careful how we correct one another, because we have to realize that today you might be correcting someone else, but tomorrow you could be the one being corrected. And so the hidden love here is really a disguise. It's not love. It's much worse. We're not loving others when we shy away, when we fear, when we are not willing to tell them the truth. But open rebuke, however, does not fear. It dares to correct what is wrong. And so we may ask, why do we hold back? Why is it so hard for us to hold back the truth from those we love? Why are we so afraid of speaking the truth in love? I think we all know it. It's fear, isn't it? We are just so afraid of speaking the truth to one another. And what are we afraid of? We're afraid that we're going to lose our friends. We're going to lose people when you tell them the truth. We're afraid they're going to be angry at us. We're afraid that they're going to resent us. We're afraid of what they will think when we tell them the truth, that they will think that we're judging them, we're condemning them. We are so insecure in ourselves that we don't want to speak the truth to one another. But I think even more, we are so afraid because our very conscience condemns us. We are so afraid because we ourselves are not living right. Especially when you're correcting someone because of something you know that you struggle with. Sometimes it becomes very hard for us to correct someone if we know we're living or we're not living right. And so we feel like we're acting hypocritically, because how can I correct my brother when I'm not living right? So the warning for us here to really look, take a good look at ourselves. Be able to watch out for that log in your eye before you call out the speck in your brother and your sister's eye. I like what Paul says in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. See, we correct one another in gentleness, with care, with love, because it truly is the way of love. If you want to show someone you love them today, then you go say the hard things to them. And if they want to show you that they love you, they will do the same. We speak the truth in love because we love our friends, because we love one another. We also realize that reading our passage this morning that sometimes telling the truth may be hurtful. It might wound someone. Listen to what the wise king says in verses 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Now, growing up as a child, I was a troublemaker. I know it's hard for you to believe that I was a troublemaker. But I really was a big-time troublemaker. And I really gave my parents grief. I really did, especially my mother, because she was the one who was the disciplinarian. I used to fight with my siblings. I would punch them in the face and just do all kinds of things. I was disobedient. I would never listen to anything my mother told me to do. I was lazy, very lazy. I hated school. I mean, I would need to be forced every morning to wake up to go to school. I could go on and on. Just anything you can imagine that a kid can do that was wrong, I did it all. And my mother had a really hard time with me. So my mom tried all kinds of discipline and nothing else worked. But there's one thing that I would heed to. There's one thing I listened to, and it was my mom spanking. Now, a disclaimer here, I'm not really advocating for any form of discipline against the other, but I'm just trying to drive a point home here. But my mom would spank me every day, and that's not an exaggeration, because that's just how bad I was. And it was painful. I really hated it. But it was the only way I could listen to. And I think my mom was watching the path that I was taking, and she recognized that I was taking the wrong path, that I was going to lead into a very destructive manner. And instead of my mom letting me go into my own rebellious ways, she decided to do something about it. She decided to rebuke me, to correct me, so that I would be the man that God wanted me to be. Now, I could tell you that my mom's spanking, you know, was... to me at that time, felt very harsh, felt very harmful. I felt it was undeserved at some points. At times I resented my mother, I was angry at her, but now I look back and I see those spanking, and not just the spanking, but her wise counsel has really made me the man I am today as I stand before you. What a blessing she was to me. Now, you see, my mom was disciplining me as a parent, but I think the principle is almost the same as we apply in a friendship or in a relationship stating. Of course, I'm not saying you go spanking people because they've sinned against you. You don't want that to happen. But sometimes saying the hard things to others can be difficult, can be harmful. Others might resent you. They might be angry at you when you tell them the truth. But the author of this passage tells us that pain is better than the kisses of an enemy. Now, we might be wondering, okay, so what does this kisses of an enemy mean? I think there's two great examples of kisses of an enemy in Scripture that are worth us, you know, looking at and considering. The one is very obvious. We know it from the New Testament. But the other, you probably might know it, but it might be a little subtle. There's a story in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 20, verses 9 and 10. It's a story of the worthless man by the name Sheba, who was trying to really turn, you know, the kingdom away by his words. And so King David sends his servant Joab and asks him to go and pursue this man and finish him off before he destroys the kingdom. And so Joab takes off with his men and pursues Sheba. And that when he gets to the gate, I'm imagining that Amasa, the man that he faces, was guarding Sheba, meets him at the gate, and this is what happens in 2 Samuel 20, 9 and 10. And Joab said to Amasa, "It is well with you, my brother." And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not observe the sword that was in Joab's hand. So Joab struck him with it in the stomach and spilled his entrails to the ground without striking a second blow, and he died. Now that's a kiss of an enemy. Amasa never saw it coming. And of course we know the story of Judas with his kiss of betrayal. Sometimes that kiss can mean death. But I think in our passage this morning, as much as those stories have correlation with what we're talking about, I think even more it's referring to someone who is so quick to give you a compliment, especially when you are not right, especially compliments on your faults, compliments on your sins, someone who just encourages you just for the sake of it, without recognizing what you're doing. And sometimes we don't see that those accolades will not benefit you in any way. In fact, they will hurt you more than momentary pain that the friend or than the rebuke of a friend may cause you. It really is a compliment in disguise. It's a disguised compliment. An enemy is lavish with his kisses to hide his hatred. And I think Solomon is warning us here to be very careful not to be caressed and flattered by those compliments of an enemy. Don't be deluded. Instead, trust a rebuke that comes from a friend. See, because when we hold back the truth from those we love, when we hold back speaking or saying the hard things from those we love, we're really not loving them. In fact, you are being an enemy to them by not telling them the truth. I love what Seneca, the great Roman Stoic philosopher, once said. He said, "I love not my friend if I do not offend them. I love not my friend if I do not offend them." That's a powerful statement. And so sometimes when we rebuke others, when we tell them and show them the truth, it hurts. It's a painful thing. But we are being faithful to them if we do so. I like the way Matthew Henry puts it in his commentary as he comments on this passage. He says, "It's like a doctor's job is to cure a patient. It is not to please his palate." Remember taking those hard, really bitter pills for malaria, I mean, back in Kenya. They were so bitter. But who cares how they taste if they're going to heal you? Might be hard. It might be you want to throw up when you take that medication, but it's good for you because it's going to heal you. So fearing to offend others because it might hurt them is more hurtful in the long run. It's tough love, isn't it? Loving someone and caring for them so much that you care for their very own soul, that you would not want to see them perish. My wife the other day sent me a quote. She had no idea what She wasn't sending me the quote because she thought it would actually line up with the message, but she just thought it was something to think about. And the moment she sent it to me, I thought to myself, oh goodness, this is really communicates what we're talking about. And especially a lie that's spread out there in the world that sometimes we do listen to. Here's how the quote goes. Quote, "If a man is forced to choose between the truth and his father, only a fool chooses the truth." If a man is forced to choose between the truth and his father. Only a fool chooses the truth. What a lie from the pit of hell. But what a beautiful thing when we choose to do the opposite of just that, choosing the truth of God. What a great demonstration of how God loves us. And how do we know how God loves us? God loves you and I that he gave himself to us, that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and for me. It was a difficult thing. It wasn't a fun thing for the Father to be separated from his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself having to suffer, be in pain on the cross for you and for me, for your sins and my sins, your and my transgressions, nailed him on that cruel tree. His momentary pain and suffering was for you to be reconciled with the Father. And just how much of a wonderful thing that his love continues to us now. We don't just remember that he gave, that he died on the cross, that we remember that he's working in our lives now through sanctification, through the process of making us more and more holy, saying more to sin, saying no to sin and more to righteousness. And you all know it because we've gone through it. If you're a believer, you're going through it right now. Is it a fun process? No. It's a painful process. It's a process of us becoming more Christ-like. And it's a painful one. And it's a long one. And it's not going to end until Christ comes back again. So when you love others, when you love your friends, when you love your church, when you love all your community, you are willing to make that sacrifice to say the hard things in love. And that sacrifice might be losing a friend. It might be offending them. It might just be being yelled at. Or maybe being punched. But we are demonstrating God's love to them. They will resent us. They might be angry at us. But that's okay. Because our hope is that they will recognize their sin and they will come back to Christ in repentance. And in the same way, when we are the ones who are on the other side, when we are the ones offending, then we better hope and pray that our prayer will be like, as we said this morning, from Psalm 141, let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. You're called to show love to one another by speaking the hard truth to them. And that hard truth sometimes may hurt them. What is it this morning that's going to make us leave this room and go out there and be able to love one another? Have the freedom to say those hard things. Have the freedom to say the truth in love. What is it? What is it that will make us be able to do that? I cannot think of anything else other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. I cannot think of anything else that sets me free, that sets you free, so that you have no reason to fear. You have no reason to be offended when someone points out your sin. You have no reason to be angry or to be ashamed. You have no reason to defend yourself because you are sinful, because your sin has been exposed. In fact, the best thing that could happen to you this morning is if your sin was exposed on the 5 o'clock news and everything was laid bare, because you know what? It's already happened because of what Christ has done. Instead, the pain and the wounds and the scars that are caused by us knowing just how sinful and how broken we are ought to help us and to make us to gaze upon the scars of the one who has taken upon our sins and nailed them on the cross. Now that is the good news, and it should not make you fret. It should not make you fear. It should not make you feel ashamed when someone points out sin that you have committed. It is better to offend someone than to let them perish in hell forever. It is better for you to be offended than to face eternal condemnation. The momentary pain and the wounds that you might experience because someone has pointed out your sin, they are nothing They are absolutely nothing compared to the glorious riches that you will find in Christ alone. So when someone tells you the truth in love, accept it. Don't be offended by it because they are showing you love. So go and show love to your friends. It is better to lose them than for them to lose their very soul. Father, may you help us this morning to heed the call to love one another. To love one another by speaking the truth to them. Thank you for your word, for your gospel that really sets us free. That we have nothing to hide. We have nothing to hide from our lives because you have exposed our sin. And you know just how sinful we are. Help us to accept your correction and the correction of others. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.